2 Corinthians 5:21 reads, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Hello and welcome back to Think This Way. This is the podcast of Faith Bible Church. I am your host, Pastor Bryce. Today I have with me Martin's dad.
That is true. Martin Elias Backe, Shouse's dad.
That's at a certain age when your kids are young, you do just become your child's dad.
Oh, you're Martin's dad?
Yeah, yeah. But that's especially important today because we're talking about the person after whom you named Martin your son. Mm. We're talking about Martin Luther because we have come in our quarterly focus on the gospel. As we're looking at 2 Corinthians 5:21, we are at the very end of the verse. It says, "For our sake, he, the Father, made him, Jesus, the Son, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Mm. Today, we are talking about an alien righteousness. A righteousness not based on what we've done within ourselves. It's alien, not like green people from outer space. It's alien in the sense it's outside of us.
Okay. I was thinking X-Files with Mulder and Scully, but yes. Okay.
Nope, alien. Not that either. Yes. Not that either. Alien righteousness, meaning outside of ourselves, it's Christ's righteousness, the righteousness of God. But I'm getting ahead of myself because we need to start by talking about this little German monk, Martin Luther.
This blast of wind.
Yep. This boar in the Lord's vineyard, one called him. This is Martin Luther, lived in the late 1400s, early 1500s, was a pivotal part of what we now call the Protestant Reformation. And I specifically wanted to have you on this show, Mike, because Martin Luther's had such a large impact on your life. That is not asterisk. That is not a full acceptance of everything Luther ever said, because he said some crazy things.
Amen there. Yes.
But...
yeah, and as you study people in general, you know what I mean? It's like all your heroes, like Jonathan Edwards, George Whitfield, you know, you find out these demons they have, and you're like, you know, everybody's got stuff.
Like
so
King David did what?
Yeah, right?
You know what I mean? Yeah, that's Martin Luther as well.
That's a guy with a heart for God. A heart for God.
And that very much characterizes Luther, too, because some of the stuff he said, especially later in life, there was some anti-Semitism, there were some things that were not healthy or good, but... his essential contribution to the faith of many people stands significant. I wanted to talk about him as we talk about this alien righteousness because this was his struggle. He was a life that characterized this very thing we're talking about because early on he was a monk in the medieval Roman Catholic Church, which had a whole system that you could follow and supposedly attain righteousness before God.
Righteousness. That's like where we don't hear very much in our culture, you know?
Yeah, that's
true. It's
got
a negative connotation anymore, really.
It does.
Self-righteous.
Surfer culture brought back righteous.
Righteous, that's right.
But that's a little different.
Yeah.
But righteousness, a right standing before God, Luther was obsessed with that. Really. He wanted that. He had been training to be a lawyer, got scared in a thunderstorm, lightning storm, dedicated himself, crying out to St. Anne, supposedly Mary's mom, but... dedicates himself to become a monk. He becomes a monk, which in his day, if you wanted fast track to righteousness, you become a monk.
Man.
You renounce everything. You live in poverty. You suffer. And it wasn't enough for Luther. He wanted to be the monkiest monk there was.
That's right. And he's so, like the Paul of monks.
Huh? He is. Yeah, very much so. Pharisee of Pharisee. He said, if ever a monk got to heaven by monkery, it was I, because he suffered. He would leave his window open in the winter. So the cold could come in, he would not wear a blanket, he would try to suffer, he permanently damaged his digestion at this time as he's trying to get right with God, and he sees God just as wrathful and angry, and so he's trying everything he can do humanly possible to get right with God, and he senses in his conscience it is not working, and he is despairing until he is studying the book of Romans. And he discovers in the Apostle Paul a doctrine which we call justification by faith alone. Mm. And Mike is a resident expert on justification by faith alone.
I do live it
you
every
do, day. I was going to say, having experienced it and taught it. So could you give us a sense of what is this justification by faith alone, and why did it so much help and transform Martin Luther?
Man, the just shall live by faith. Man, what? I mean, just thinking about your own, like all of us do this. All of us try to do things to get us in right standing, even with everybody, with all of our friends and family and spouses. But we even do it for God, even us who know this doctrine, who know that there's nothing in us that we can offer to God that's going to be pleasing outside of the sacrifice of Christ. He sees us, he sees Christ, and that's why we're counted righteousness. There's nothing in us, right? It's just our faith to believe that. And that faith is really more on our end to like get us to rest, to like quit all these leaving the window open and all these stupid struggles you're doing. I mean, trust me, struggles are going to come your way, right? That's a promise. They're going to come. You don't need to bring them on yourself. So it's just that idea of just that rest to know that it is finished. When Jesus cries out on the cross, it is finished. He's talking about everybody's salvation. There's nothing you or I offer to make that salvation any better. It's completed through the work of Christ.
That's beautiful. Exactly right. And I mean that, like you said, righteousness, not a word we throw around that much. Justification, even less.
Yeah.
Usually people say that's an excuse for something you did. It's a justification.
Yeah, I'm justified. I'm justified in thinking this.
Yeah, that's the only way we use it. Yeah. So it helps to clarify and say justification in the Greek sense it's being used, and I think even in the Latin maybe. It's just a single idea with righteousness and justification. To be justified is to be righteousized, which means, in Paul, to be counted by God as if you were righteous. That's what Luther discovered. Because, you know, Luther's trying to be righteous by works. Working, working, working. And then he reads Romans, which speaks of the blessing on how blessed is the man whose sins the Lord doesn't count against him. Why would God not count? But the one who, apart from his works, is counted as righteous. The righteous person shall live by faith, not by works. That's really what set him free, was to realize, God, when I trust in Christ by faith, only faith, nothing else, no deeds, no works, nothing, just faith in Christ, God counts the righteousness of Jesus Christ as if it were mine. And my unrighteousness and sin, he counted to his son Jesus as if it were his. And Jesus carried that on the cross and was punished fully for my unrighteousness as my substitute. So there is this double imputation, this crediting both ways. So justification by faith alone here. I mean, when 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, for our sake, he made him to be sin. There's the imputing our sin to him, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's the other way.
The other way, yeah.
That's the righteousness of God found in Jesus. It says we might become it, meaning it's credited to us. And that freed Luther. I've got this little famous quote that Luther wrote when he was reflecting long afterward on his conversion or his discovery of justification by faith. He said, in Romans 1:17, there I began to understand the righteousness of God is that by which the righteous live through a gift of God, namely by faith. And this is the meaning. The righteousness of God, which is revealed by the gospel, is a passive righteousness with which the merciful God justifies us by faith, as it is written, he who through faith is righteous shall live. Here I felt that I was altogether born again and had entered paradise itself through open gates. Now, we've got to talk about trouble in paradise, because
that's a great statement.
Yeah, it really is.
That's one of the reasons I love Luther. When I read his commentary on Romans, I was going to a church at the time. I guess they're called secret-sensitive churches now, right? And it just, it didn't have that. I mean, scripture gripped him. You know what I mean? And it was like, changed his life. It's like, why are we doing this? You know?
Very powerful and profound in his, I mean, again, as someone who permanently damaged his digestion trying to get right with God.
Yeah.
To know like, hey, everything you're working to accomplish is already accomplished. You can have it for free. Say, what do I have to do? No, nothing. Nothing. What a relief. Yeah. Now, Trouble in Paradise is, so that's a very profound and remarkable experience and truth. The fact is, if you study Martin Luther, you realize that was a very amazing moment in his life. It did transform him, but he still struggled for the rest of his life, like we all do, to really hold on to the truth of justification by faith alone. He really struggled with despair. He said he would sink into seasons of blasphemies and despair. I don't even know what that means, to be honest. Probably don't want to know. Just rough times. And those would recur in his life. And that's one of the things I also appreciate about Martin Luther, is he wasn't prettied up as some perfect saint. He was a rough German Christian, you know, and he struggled very honestly, and he found it hard to believe the gospel like we all do, even after he had discovered it. So that's where I have a question for you, which is, what helps you the most to fight against the accusations of Satan and to believe that you truly have Christ's righteousness credited to your account, even when you don't feel like it?
That's good. And my first thing I thought of when I saw that question was, like, what are you boasting in? What is it you boast in? If there's something in you that you feel like, oh, this is something I'm really good at, you know, and that's something you boast in. Like, when people see me, I want them to think, oh, he's a really good guitar player, or whatever, you know, whatever it is for your life. I mean, an honest, like, I know in myself, when I'm honest with myself, I know that I am not a good guitar player. It's just the truth. I mean, I could play the stuff I play because I practice it all the time.
You fooled, like, us all, Mike.
No, but I mean, when I see like a real guitar player and I try to learn like one of those parts, it's like, and I mean, it takes me forever, right, to learn how to play that. And it's just that honest understanding, honest acknowledgement of yourself. I mean, when I think of anything good in my life today, like my wife, my children, this church, fellowship I have with people, the fact that I'm allowed to be on stage Sunday and lead people in music, you know, I think of myself and I know where I came from and what I was chasing after before my 21st birthday when God changed my life. I was not seeking it. All of a sudden, I just woke up convicted of sin and I knew the gospel was true. I didn't rationalize that with my own understanding. It's just all of a sudden God clicked it on for me. And so when I think back to that, I know that all these good things that produce, all this fruit that comes from my life is just from that decision that he made for me, right? Him changing my life, giving me this new heart, has led to all this fruit, which is nothing of myself. And I'm not saying it to be like some kind of like, oh, he's so humble. I mean, that's just the honest truth. I know what I'm capable of, you know what I mean? And I know what God does through me, and that's a miracle. That's a miracle that, you know, people are like, oh, whatever. No, I'm telling you, it is. And if you're honest with yourself, I'm sure you could say the same thing, right? It's a miracle in my life.
See, and that's good. I mean, it's interesting because remembering when we came to Christ is such a really an essential strategy against Satan's devices. Because Satan will come and point out all the sins in your life. He's an accuser. Points at all of them. Says, God cannot be pleased with you. Look at this. You're a mess. And then he'll give you the Instagram pictures of the other Christians who are great.
Yeah.
And you're not that. And to be able to go back and go, okay, you know, but things have changed. Yeah. I am a mess.
I admit I am a mess.
But yes. I was much more of a mess previously.
Yeah.
And God accepted me when we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But when I was still sinful, how much more now he's in process of working on me. It's interesting you say that because even Martin Luther, and there's more discussion to be had on this, I guess, but when he had all these strategies, because I mean, he's convinced Satan himself was out to get him. You can go to the Wartburg or wherever he was in that castle, and there's an ink stain. They say he threw his inkwell at Satan.
Oh, yeah.
Who knows? But he really did have this vivid awareness of Satan. And if you find a person doing that, they might be kind of crazy. But, I mean, Satan probably was trying to get Luther, considering his impact. But, so he had all these strategies to fight the wiles of the devil and his accusations. And it's helpful to read on. But that was one of them, is he would hearken back to his baptism, which I think it was to give the same sense of like when we came to Christ. Again, his baptism was as an infant. He was in the medieval Catholic Church. But I think that's going back and focusing on, okay, I've been brought into the people of God. publicly testified to that in baptism. Therefore, I need to remember that, which is what we do when we think of our conversion, you know?
Yeah.
No, I'm a mess, but I was more of a mess. Another question I have for you then is, as we think of justification by faith alone, not by works, how can someone know if they've really, as a Christian, if they've really grasped on to that doctrine? Mm. How do you know? How does that, what does that show itself in your life?
Yeah, this one really falls in with what you boast in, right? If you're boasting in yourself for things that you're doing, you know, obviously I'm a Christian. Look, I'm doing all this stuff, right? I mean, anybody can do all that stuff. Pharisees, I think about like struggling with sin. Pharisees struggle with sin, right? They struggle with sin. They repent of sin. And then at the end, they're still Pharisees, right? They're not saved in any way. So it comes down to the motivation of your heart. And I'd also say for me personally, it's my outlook towards other people. So when I look at somebody, and if I'm judging that person, that's a red flag to me, just because I know I would be exactly like this person, right? And if there's things in this person that I'm not, I know it's not for me. I know it's only Christ. And so it's the same thing with this person. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah,
but,
absolutely.
Yeah, but I just think of that, you know, like how do you know if you're falling back on my, like when you know, everything hits the fan, am I going back to my own self or am I relying on Christ when I'm totally beaten? You know, there are days where I'm just like, okay, there's some Sunday mornings where I can't even play guitar. My hands are shaking so bad because I'm so anxious and nervous. But then I just think of, you know, I'm just up here trying to lead people into the worship of the one true God. And so I just pray, God, you know, I'm just trying to lead your people. And if you want to use me, that's awesome. But I know I have all these other saints around me. You know, I got Josh Beer and Julie and Riley, all these other people, Stephanie, that'll take over, you know, and fill in those gaps. So,
oh, that's good. I mean, that seems like a great answer. Just, yeah, the way that we view other people, you can see this reflected even for believers. When you encounter a believer who's not suffered very much, hey, great.
You know? Praise God.
Yeah, that's awesome. But it is interesting. Not always, and it's not necessarily so, but typically they can really struggle to have compassion on people who struggle.
Mm.
I mean, even for Jesus, he's a merciful, compassionate high priest because he was tempted. So you find someone who's had an easier life, and sometimes it can be harder for them to feel a compassion toward others. And then you find someone who's really suffered a lot, and there can be a real warmth of compassion, a real patience toward people suffering and struggling with sin. You go, what's the difference here? The difference isn't mainly the suffering piece. You can be compassionate without suffering. But I think what happens is the dynamic you're talking about, when we've really suffered a lot and been tempted and tried a lot, that's when you realize, wow, I got nothing. You know, I am nothing and I got nothing. Because you feel all strong when you're healthy and good.
Oh, yeah. Things are going good, man. Yeah.
And then you get to that trial in Asia and you despair of life itself. And that's what shows you, like, hey, you've got nothing but grace going your way, you know? Yeah. Then you're like, oh, and that helps you to see others. I mean, justification by works, you all look at others and go, your works are worse than mine. Justification by faith, we're all on equal footing here. And you see someone else struggling, you go, I get it. Without God's grace, I'm right there too.
Yeah.
Justified by faith alone. Very good. Well, Mike, thank you so, so much for talking about Luther. It's been a pleasure.
I love talking about Luther.
Yeah. You who are listening to this, maybe you are a believer, but you have been focusing a bit overmuch on your own righteousness. As important as that is to live a righteous life, is not the very heart of the Christian life. Maybe you have over time forgotten that you have an alien righteousness credited to you, that in him you have become the righteousness of God. Whatever the case in the past may be, may God help us all now to think this way.